jai. Trinadapi suniche na tarad iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama eva kibalam. Kalo nastyeva, 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 gatir anyata. I would like to read to you the benefits of hearing or reading Ramayana. This is found in the prologue of the Ramayana itself and will set the mood for this evening's transcendental festivities. Did you like the Hey Ram? Was that good? It's all right? I'll do better at my Hindi as I go along. So let's hear now. One who listens every day to this oldest epic, composed by the sage Valmiki, which is calculated to bestow religious merit, longevity, renown, and which lends support to the Vedas, such a person is completely freed of sin. Kings will overcome their enemies and conquer the earth. Men will overcome all difficulties, and women will be blessed with excellent sons and grandsons. Those listening to this epic will receive from Sri Ram all the boons they desire. Through a hearing of this great book, all the gods are satisfied, and one who keeps a copy in one's house will find all obstacles coming to an end. A man offering worship to and reading this historical book is completely rid of all sins and attains a long life. All the gods are thus pleased, and one's ancestors are gratified forever. Those transcribing this work with devotion are guaranteed residence in heaven, while those hearing it will secure the growth of their family and wealth, supreme happiness, and the accomplishment of all their objects on earth. The gods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, and Rishis always listen with great pleasure to the Ramayana in the heavenly planets. This legend is the bestower of longevity, the enhancer of good fortune, and the dispeller of sins. It is the equal of the Vedas, and that's why Srila Prabhupada considers Ramayana the fifth Veda, along with the Mahabharata. One reading even a quarter of it is freed of all sins. Indeed, even if one sins daily, he or she is released from all sinful reactions. If one recites just one verse of the Ramayana, one gets the result of 1,000 Ashvamedha sacrifices and 10,000 Vajapeya sacrifices. Merely by hearing the Ramayana, one has visited all the holy shrines and bathed in all the sacred rivers. One who listens to the story of Sri Ram with full reverence roots out all sins and goes to the world of Vishnu. The Ramayana is the unsurpassed form of Gayatri. By hearing it with devotion, one will undoubtedly achieve liberation, along with many generations of one's ancestors. The exploits of Sri Ram are the bestower of all of the four objects of life, dharma, artha, calm and moksha. Hearing even one line of this work with full devotion guarantees one's attainment of the world of Lord Brahma. Now, there are three mantras which I'd like to chant and explain to you, which are in reference to Sri Ram. Ramante yogino nante satyanande chid atmani iti rama padena sau parang brahma vidhiyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth is called Ram. Everybody say that, Ram. Because transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. So that verse is in the book called Shata Nam Stotra of Lord Ramachandra. So this name Ram, you can take transcendental pleasure from it. Now there's another verse. This one is spoken by Lord Shambhu to his wife Durga. All right, so here's what Lord Shiva says. Rama rameti rameti rame rame mano rame sahasra namavistulyang rama nama varanane. So in this shloka, Lord Shiva calls his wife Varanana. Varanana means the woman who has a lovely face. That is Durga Mata, lovely face. He says to her, I chant the holy name of Lord Ram. So this is significant. Lord Shiva chants the name of Ram. He says, I chant the holy name. He says it three times. Let's do it. Ram, Ram, Ram. And thus enjoy this beautiful sound. So not only is Lord Shiva chanting, but he's enjoying it. As we heard in the previous verse, it was said that it is spiritual pleasure. So this is the impetus behind chanting. Just before arti, we will do the one round of japa. Some people think japa is a chore. No, for someone like Lord Shiva, he is chanting this name of Ram and is enjoying. He uses the word enjoying this holy name of God. Now look what Lord Shiva says. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. Now, those of you who are studied, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. And he is saying that this name, Ram, everybody, is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. So you get a glimpse now of how the mantra is called Mahamantra. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, it's the Mahamantra. Here's a glimpse into one reason why it is. Because you're chanting in that Maha Mantra Ram's name four times, right? And he says, one name of Ram is 1,000 names of God. In the Maha Mantra, you're chanting four names of Ram. That's 4,000 in each mantra. And we're going to do, when we do the round of japa, 1,728 mantras. So this Maha Mantra is, as I like to say, the mantra on steroids. It is so powerful. Lord Shiva has just instructed us. So where's this verse from? This is found in the Padma Purana, in the section known as the Brihad Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra. So it's in the section where there's the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, but Lord Shiva says, but this name Ram equal to 1,000. Now this next mantra is spoken by Hanumanji, the great devotee of Lord Ram. So let's see. Now, this verse appears at the point where Lord Ram has returned to Ayodhya and Ravan has been killed, Sita has been rescued, tested by the fire. They're on their way back to Ayodhya, right? Diwali, Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman return. So at some point, Ram says to Hanuman, my dear Hanumanji, you have rendered so much service to me, I would like to give you a benediction. Now you can imagine, Hanuman could have asked for anything he wanted. Ram would have surely given it. Because who was Ram sitting on, when Ram was fighting Ravan, who was carrying him? Yes, just like Vishnu rides on Garuda, Hanuman became Ram's Garuda. So I read in the Ramayana that when Ram was attacking Ravana, he was on Hanuman's shoulders, right? So Hanuman is in the position to ask for any benediction he wants. This is what Hanuman says to Lord Ram. Bhava bandha chide tasyai sprihayami namuktaye Bhavan Prabhurahang Dasa Iti Yatra Vilupyate. Hanuman says, I do not wish to take liberation. So, liberation is considered to be the perfection of life. Notice the words, Na Muktaye. I don't care for mukti. Right? Nor do I want to merge into your effulgence, because from the body of God comes the Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual effulgence, which the impersonalists want to merge. But Hanuman says no. Why? He says why? Because I do not want to lose the conception of being your servant. This is why Hanuman is called Bhaktaraj. Because for Hanuman, remaining Lord Ram's servant is higher than mukti. Most people, if they were offered mukti, they'll take it in a second. But Hanuman says, I don't want to lose my position of being your servant. So this is the symptom of a pure devotee. A pure devotee even will agree to remain in the material world provided there is the opportunity to render service. Prahlad Maharaj said the same thing to Lord Nrisimha, and he actually used Hanuman, said in the same way. So this is when you understand that someone is a great, great devotee. As Lord Chaitanya teaches in his Shikshastakam prayers, Nadanang, Najanang, Nasundaring, Kavitang va Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Janmani Janmanishware, Bhavatad Bhakti Ohaituki Twai. Lord Chaitanya, in that same mood that we just heard Hanuman, Lord Chaitanya says, when I chant your holy name, God, I am not asking you for wealth. I'm not asking you for popularity or fame. I'm not asking for higher and better realms of sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya says also, like Hanuman, I don't care if I have to take birth after birth. That's not my intention. Lord Chaitanya says, I want to remain your servant. I want service. That is all I want. This is called pure prayer. No material aspiration. I simply want to render service. We see the same mood with the wives of Krishna in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a section where Draupadi meets Krishna's queens, and she wants to know from the queens, how is it that they became Krishna's wife? Because Draupadi was a great devotee of Krishna. When you're ready to sing, I will stop speaking. So get ready. I only want to speak a couple of more minutes. Are you ready to sing? Get ready. I'm going to be done in, huh? The class is singing, talking, singing, talking, singing, talking. So get ready. Let me know when you're ready. Okay? Huh? You're ready. So, yes, it'll be singing, talking, singing, like that. So, Draupadi wanted to know, how did they get Krishna as their husband, to be his wife? So each of the queens told their story. You know, you should know, that Krishna only married 16,108 wives, that's all. So he married 16,100 at one time, and they were headed by Rohini. Then he married 8 special queens first, then he married the 16,100. So each of those 8 principal queens had her own story. But if you read the section in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the queens say the same thing. I may be considered the wife of Krishna, but actually, I see myself as his maidservant. That is the mentality of the queens. I am Krishna's wife, yes, but actually, I am simply Krishna's maidservant. This is the realm of bhakti, where you consider yourself, as Lord Chaitanya teaches, humble, meek, tolerant, and giving all respects to others. In that mood, one can chant the holy name. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.